We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com.
Come on now, bring it.
Football's back, baby.
There you go.
Live in studio. Darren's, I haven't heard him give me props yet. I'm still waiting for the on-air live props. We've been on for 7 seconds, haven't heard it yet.
I mean, first of all, I gave you props before we
got on. No, we've been on air for 7 seconds. I still haven't heard it yet.
What kind of props do you need?
He goes, the Buccaneers are going to blow out the Cowboys.
I said, a lot of people wrong about that.
I go, close game, over, rip it. Didn't listen to me, didn't win free money.
Dollar.
Well, a dollar is a dollar. How many?
Yeah.
How many parlays you
had? None.
18 parlays?
Just did one. And he got one parlay, which is, I was fine with it. I bet free money, so, I still won.
Money's
last
not
night.
Free, Darren. Haven't you
the
learned
The money
anything?
They gave me was free, so I won off
He's
that
He's got
last
free
night.
Money. We've gone over this 1,000 times, Sterling.
Exactly.
He's working the system.
I don't get how he's constantly
I want
having
you to be excited.
Free money.
How do you hear Nipsey Hussle playing and you're like, welcome to the show? Come on, it's game day. Let's go. Well,
it's not game. Well,
your
it's
Jayhawks
game
are
day.
Playing day.
My Jayhawks.
Your Jayhawks.
You have the wrong fella back here. My Tigers play tomorrow against Kentucky. They're going to get their ass kicked.
I was just watching the UCF Zoom as they're heading into the Big 12. All these Zooms are happening today. They had two this morning, Houston and BYU. UCF's is happening right now, and they had they're all the same. They got the people in little boxes. So Bob Bowlesby's there. The president of Texas Tech, well, I can't pronounce his name. Lawrence something or other, and then they have like the president of the new school coming in, and then like an AD or whatever. So they go to this guy from UCF, he's the board of whatever, and then they go to this president of the UCF, and he's like very academic whatever, and then Terry Mahajer, who's the AD, who used to work at UMKC, he's from Kansas City.
Nice.
He used to work at UMKC and KU and was the Arkansas State AD. He's been down there for a while. He gets up to the podium, he's like, come on now, let's go. We're going to the Big 12. It's pretty funny. He's like, why is everyone being all like, bah, 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 you
it's
know?
Like Happy Gilmore in the movie with their putting, and he goes, get loud.
Let's go. So let's do this thing.
Levi, look, I'm asking now, you may not know, which is fine, but it makes you wonder how these conversations are, you know, even had, because one, they're kind of coordinated, but it's like the Big 12 person who I guess is one of the athletic directors, is he just calling around to the different chancellors and different schools like, hey, would you all like to join the
Big
12?
Well, here's what Bob Bowlesby said today. Bob Bowlesby is the commissioner of the Big 12. So he's the guy in charge of being the caretaker of the league. He said they didn't go ask anyone to join. That's what he said. Everyone asked them. All right? So maybe that's just like some pride thing. We weren't out there groveling. Someone came to us and said, can we play? But this is above athletic directors. This is chancellors and stuff. So each school either has a chancellor or a president or a, you know, director of a board of curators. They're all different mumbo jumbo names.
Oh, I know. You sit on one.
Right. So this is that level of stuff. So they, on all these deals today, the way Bob Bowlesby explained it, no one asked, they didn't ask anyone. Everyone asked them. So then he would go out there and talk to someone. And these are the same four teams that tried to join 5 years ago and they said no to. So, you know, they were all kind of hot then. Like, we went through all this crap. We got all this stuff together for it, and y'all said no. And now they're like, oh, yeah, well we're in. Because then the Big 12 all of a sudden needed people. I mean, it's not like you can tell the Big 12 to kick rocks, because you'd rather go be in the Big 12 than be in the AAC, where they distribute like $9 million to each team. And Bob Bowlesby would not say this today because they don't know the exact number. I'm curious how close to the $34 million that they passed out to each school this year they will get with these 12 schools cutting the pie 12 ways instead of 8 or 10. Now, here's the wild one.
I thought Sarin or Kirkhoff yesterday talked about how it might be down like $18 million. Which
could be, but no one knows. I mean, it could be that low, or I've seen some other numbers that
but
think it's going
to
be more like 25.
But that's before they go out to renegotiate those contracts.
Right, there'll be a new renegotiation. So the funny part is Now, this is today at 3:02. 3:05.
4 minutes and 47 seconds.
You still haven't given him any props, but it's
3:05.
It's 3:05. Well, today, on Friday, September 10th, the way they're talking, in July of 2023, BYU is going to be in this league. Okay?
What, man?
2023. So, at this point, Oklahoma and Texas are still not leaving until 2025.
That's what they claim.
That's what they claim, because it's going to cost a lot of money. There's going to be a lot of negotiation. But right now,
it's going to take one oil magnate.
Right now,
16.
The other three think they can join not after July 2024. Okay?
14.
So there may be 14 teams in this league in the 2024 year. I don't think it's going to be the case, because Oklahoma and Texas, I think, will be gone before then.
Could be gone next year.
I don't think next year's in the cards. I think it's probably going to take another year, but I don't know that for sure. We'll see where it goes. But there's a lot of high level, you know, dollars and cents running around to say, all right, well, we'll let you know. There's because the AAC wants some money. They want their blood money, right?
Well,
because
all the conferences will.
The AAC, because the AAC doesn't have a big pot of money here. Okay, so the AAC, where three teams are leaving, they are supposed to give them 27 months of notice and give them $10 million. So maybe they're going around saying, all right, well, who will pay my $10 million? The guy in the UCF said they just extended a line of credit so they could have money to get this all done. So they're not flush with cash. They went out to the bank and said, all right, we're going to need some money to get out of this thing. Can you help us out?
Wells Fargo.
Yeah. And it's like,
okay.
who's got the best credit score?
Exactly. So they're out there trying to get this money to figure that out. But if it goes the timeline they said today, then there'll be 10 teams in this league this year and 10 teams next year, and then 11, and then 14, and then 12. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Here's my thing. Like, for the University of Houston, which conference are they in?
They're in the AAC.
You can't – well, it's Houston. It's Texas. Oil money.
Oh, they got money.
Yeah, so
the dude who is the head of the Board of Regents down there is the guy who owns the Houston Rockets and owns all of the Golden Nugget casinos Landry Seafood.
The UFC guy.
No, this is the Houston guy.
No, I'm saying, but the
– No.
Lorenzo Fertitta.
Yeah, he's got the last name.
Yeah.
Tillman Fertitta.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
UFC
so
guy.
He's the guy
unless,
who's –
unless
the,
they sold it.
He's the Board of Regents guy.
Yeah.
So he's the guy there. So he's obviously –
he can pay for everybody to get out.
He can pay for it all. But does he want to pay for everyone to get out?
What's in it for him?
Exactly.
Maybe
he'll be the bank for UCF.
At 10% interest.
Seriously, what he could do, I'll pay the school's conference to get out and join the conference, bring the Big 12 tournament down to Houston.
Well, the Big 12 tournament, this is what people in Kansas City care about right now. It is set in Kansas City through 2025. That's set, and that ain't changing. Now, there will be competition to maybe move the thing to Houston or whatever, but on the BYU call, Bob Bowlesby was asked that specific question. He says, it's good on 2025, and we love Kansas City, and it is still the best place for it. I mean, they can't have this thing out in Provo, Utah. Ain't nobody going to go. They can't go to Cincinnati. Nobody's going to go to that either. Houston, maybe a chance, but Houston is a long freaking ways from here.
Well, that too, but also Houston just massive. It's 45 minutes to get from the hotel to McDonald's back in the day, which is only 2 miles. I know, because in my fatter
Houston
days.
Stinks. That's what,
from a high-level standpoint, this is good for the Big 12.
They
got four about the best schools they could
Kansas
have gotten.
It's good for Kansas City, for sure. Yeah. It's good for Kansas City for things like the Big 12 tournament and for just like sports talk radio in Kansas City. We didn't want this thing to be all fractured up and have the Big 12 go away and all the stuff. We got to learn a bunch of stuff now. We got to learn about BYU.
That's fine. We need to
Houston
evolve anyway.
And UCF and Cincinnati and all that. And it's going to take a while to kind of get those rivalries going.
Plus, we'll actually have 4 full days of Big 12 basketball, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
That'll be back at it. So what they need to do, Houston kind of fits in because Houston already has business with TCU and Tech because they've battled over the years before. It's been a while, but there's some people there. The guy who their athletic director is, he worked for the athletic department in Houston when all that crap went down in 1994 and 5. So he's got some history with the thing. UCF became a university in 1966. That's when they weren't even a school. There's like 70,000 people go to school there. It's in Orlando. So it's this huge
Orlando is
commuter school, right? Yeah. It's like this huge commuter school. They built a stadium on campus. I mean, it's an up-and-coming thing. But the weird part is, it's so far away. I'm gonna sound like an old guy, but I liked our little group region of people we had right here. You could get to about everything pretty quickly. That's not the case anymore. But
we'll
anyway,
that,
it's good for the Big 12. They've saved this league. I don't know what it's going to be in 5 years. That's the question I have. In 2026, how much money do you think you're going to be distributing to each member? Is it going to be near $35 million? Or even if they get a new TV deal, is it going to be like, there's no OU in Texas in this thing? I don't know.
My question would be, where would they have the Big 12 championship in football?
Well, Dallas loves that game.
But that's what you got.
They didn't lose a team in Dallas, right? So it's the same thing. Dallas is still a big city with a great big stadium and a beautiful. That's where the conference offices are. I would love to see it come back to Kansas City sometime. I wouldn't mind seeing that game move around. Put that thing in Cincinnati. Put it at Paul Brown Stadium.
Oh, you don't let me cuss. Hell no. Nah. I got to go there
Houston.
In January.
Put it wherever. I like that moving around. I miss having it here. We haven't had it here since 2008. It's been a long time since we had that game here. Now, it was gone for 7 years. They didn't have one until 17.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't any from 10 to 17. But we haven't had it here since 8. So I'd like to see that game here. It's been in Houston before. It's been in that stadium before. So it's been a while.
Yeah, Reliance Stadium was good. I mean, I liked that.
They had, what was there? Oh, 5 was there. Texas won 70-3.
Good
God. That's a good one. And 02 was there. Oklahoma won that one down there. So they've had it there a couple times.
So with these teams, the addition, Big 12 stays a Power 5 conference, I think.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I tell you what, it will be a hell of a basketball league. That's some people. I mean, Houston right now with Kelvin Sampson was a Final Four team last year.
Of course.
Okay.
BYU's been top 25.
BYU's always good. Cincinnati's a great history and has been good recently.
Is Jimmer Fredette coming back?
Maybe he will. That'd be interesting.
He didn't know who Jimmer was.
Jimmer, don't you remember Jimmer? Everyone loves a white guy playing basketball back at BYU in the day.
It wasn't just a white guy playing basketball.
Oh, it's a white guy. It's a little white guy.
BYU.
Who drained the game against Florida, the whole NCAA tournament.
Yeah, he made a bunch of shots. But UCF, Taco Fall, right?
Taco Fall.
I mean, Blake Bortles, dude.
Blake Bortles.
They've been a ranked team.
He was the quarterback at UCF.
He was.
Wasn't that where he was at?
They won a BCS game.
Yeah.
Against Baylor. Art Briles and Baylor.
So you're saying there's already a rivalry built in.
Well, hold on. And think of Bob Huggins. West Virginia, Cincinnati.
Oh, that's good. I hadn't even thought about that one yet.
Man.
That's good.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought.
I think the Big 12 did.
I wonder if they've
really
played. Has West Virginia played Cincinnati since he left? I like that.
Big 12 did a great
job. Just make sure you credit
me.
I think they did. From literally a week ago, we thought, are they going to disband? To now, they go, this was best case scenario getting all four.
Yeah, you weren't going to steal, like, you know, Michigan or anything like that. So, but they went and got probably the best of the stuff that's out there. And the one thing we've talked about before is BYU is going to do all sports. All their sports are coming. And they don't play on Sundays. That's not a huge deal for football, obviously. It's not a big deal for basketball either. But it is a big deal on, you know, some of the other sports where competitions go that way. Big 12 says it's not a concern. It's a consideration. And they will do everything they can to not have a problem with that. So there'll be some Olympic sports that will maybe change the days they play. I mean, women's basketball a lot of times plays on Sunday in the Big 12.
That's, KU.
Yeah, that's not going to happen if you're playing BYU. Yeah. It won't happen. They do play men's volleyball. There is no men's volleyball, but they're not even in the West Coast Conference in that because they don't play it. They're in some other thing. So it'll be a little bit weird there how that all goes. But the things people care about, football, I mean, we'll have to – maybe 2025, maybe 2023, maybe, I don't know. It could all be done by 2023.
I don't
it
like a five-year out playing. I can't. My head's going to hurt.
Well, no, they'll
fix it. I'm going to forget about it, Lebo. I'll forget in 5 years, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait,
yeah.
Baylor?
Well, if I ask you to remember, like, what year Nebraska and Colorado left with the last year they played, you probably couldn't remember.
I was going to say, can I guess?
Sure.
2008.
No, they played in 10. So 2010, they left. And then so the next year, the league was just 10 teams, and that was when A&M and Missouri were still in the league.
Yeah.
But then they left, And then they added West Virginia and TCU. So then they had the then they were back to 10 again. So they went 12, 10, and then the 10 with two different 10.
But with, for example, Mizzou and A&M leaving, I don't remember them having to wait the 5-year period.
No, no,
I think
they
it
did
only...
it. They announced it. Missouri announced it in November, and they were gone in January. Or,
yeah,
in July.
Because I was in.
Because Missouri didn't play a lame duck football season. There was like maybe 1 week. Because it got announced officially in November, and then they finished the year, and then the basketball season was all that was the final year. Missouri and Kansas, da da da, and they won the league at Sprint Center when they beat Baylor and all that. So it was a quick deal there. Nebraska,
and they paid their way out too, didn't they?
Yes, they had to buy out a deal. But what the Big 12 did after these buyouts were pretty cheap back then, like Nebraska, Colorado, and they all left and didn't cost that much money. Then when they re-granted the rights to everyone, they put in pretty serious penalty. That's why this is upwards $70-80 million for Oklahoma and Texas. It ain't cheap to walk out. Now, like we said, people out there got that money walking around money. Are they willing to throw that out to just to get to the SEC quicker? I don't know.
Dude, let me hold $5,000. How if you have that money?
Look, but you saw how it was college football open weekend. We saw Georgia. We saw Alabama, of course, we saw Oklahoma. Oklahoma wants to be in that conversation, you know, with Alabama and Georgia. So if you can hurry up and get out of there, especially with Texas A&M, you know, now they're what, number five? What? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, Oklahoma wants to be in that discussion. I mean,
you got to get there, but you have to, what they're doing now is there going to be a lot of conversations, and you have to involve a lot of people because this is
lawyers.
This is, you know, getting out of the Big 12. It's getting out of TV deals that you have.
Get out of your prenup.
With ESPN or whomever. It's getting into the SEC because the SEC wants them. But the SEC also goes, wait a second. Now, you know, now our pie is going to 16 instead of 14. You know, that changes things there. So it's not all just, oh, write a check and be done. They got to figure out exactly what that check is. Because if you and some of these things, when you enter a league, when you enter, and this is what I don't know yet on some of these, is you enter and you're not a full member yet. Maybe you'll only get 70% of the revenue distribution for the first 2 years.
Junior member. Intern. Yeah.
You are. So it takes a while to kind of get that full deal. So there'll be lots of boardroom meetings and Zooms happening to get this done. But this is a big day for the Big 12. And it's kind of weird that it all happened today because we got professional football going down. We got the Chiefs and Browns on Sunday. And it's like, okay, Friday. We're gonna do this too. Is this what we are? We got damn NFL starting right now.
Before we switch gears, I do want to ask Lebo, at least really quickly, as far as Oklahoma goes, because they've been in the National College Playoffs, they've been there, they've done it in the Big 12. Well, SEC is a different animal as far as you're gonna have to play probably Georgia or Alabama at least once. You're gonna play Texas A&M. Your week to week schedule is gonna be more difficult. Does that hurt or help when it comes to making a college football playoff?
You gotta win the games. You gotta win the games. Is what you gotta do. I mean, Oklahoma feels like if they get in the SEC, they'll recruit better. There will certainly be some bumps in the road. I don't anticipate them winning the league for 6 years in a row like they just did here in the Big 12. But I don't think they're going to fall apart and be.
I don't think they fall apart.
They're not going to
win
Nebraska.
If they lose two games,
it'll. But
they
you
may
know,
not make the.
I think what they feel is they feel like there's going to be an expansion in the playoffs, and losing two games ain't that big a deal anymore. Because there's going to be
Top 12.
Yeah, you just got to be top 12,
which is going to be six SEC schools,
right? If you lost to Alabama and then you lost one to Georgia, maybe you'll still make it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all wild right now. Whatever we used to think we knew about something is gone. It's all different. Get your map out and try to figure out who's in what league and when it's going to go. So.
This sounds like the Big 12 resurrection, kind of like the Matrix.
They're right back. Run the trailer.
Yeah.
Be excited about it.
I am excited now. Look, to be able to talk about and, you know, you never know. Maybe travel down to Orlando to go see UCF and KU.
You going to Disney?
Going to Disney.
I've done that before. There's no casinos there.
Darren's waiting for the Disney casino. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, might, though. I don't know.
It's like Mickey Mouse walking around. Here's some shots. Also, go gamble.
It is.
Yeah. Hey, kids.
You can
bet?
Drink there now. You just not be able to drink.
Shots around the world.
It's an hour or 2 hour drive to Tallahassee to go gamble.
I've not been since I was like six.
Disney World?
I'm a Legoland kind of guy.
I'm a Universal Studio kind of guy.
We took our kids to Disney once and Universal the next year. We went to Florida 2 years in a row when they were 5, 6, 7, and then I was like, okay, we did that.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Universal's more fun though.
Disney
yeah, they had
really
great rides back then, and they're even better now. I think
exactly.
I just think Disney, they've really got a stranglehold in fooling every single parent to basically say, if you don't take your kids, you're a horrible
parent. Yeah.
It's like you're depriving your kids of spending.
Now, I wasn't a rich
five
kid,
grand
like Sterling, so I didn't get to go to Disney when I was a kid.
I went one time.
This is crazy, man.
What was your craziest vacation you got to go on, Darren?
Crazy
as a kid, you get to go anywhere cool when you're a kid? Because let's ask
casino.
Sterling.
Nope.
Never went anywhere
as a kid with the parents or just
yeah.
kid. Oh, nah, nothing out of order. I mean, we went on church trips when we had our convention, which was Baltimore, D.C., stuff like that. So, I mean, as a kid doing that, yeah, but when I was in high school, on the weightlifting team, we traveled to Canada, Australia.
No, not that real work. I'm talking about your parents that take you to Six Flags in St. Louis or something?
Nah.
You get to go to Worlds of Fun in Kansas City?
Yeah. We went to Worlds of Fun.
And right. Where'd you go, Sterling? Just tick them off. Where'd you go? Disney World, how many times?
Once.
Dubai.
Where else?
France.
Legoland.
In San Diego?
Of course.
Yeah. Where else?
New
York
Wally
City.
World.
Well, how old
are
we talking?
World.
So you're like 12.
Okay.
Wally World.
Lakers game.
In L.A.?
Yeah, I was in 04, so I was 12.
You probably went to the Grammys once.
Didn't go to the Grammys. Yeah.
Wally World.
Yeah, Wally World. Moose should have told you.
I went
closed.
To Miami game. Heat.
Yeah.
That was Dwayne Wade. That was may have been 06.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where else? The family vacations?
Went to
Florida,
the White
Santa.
House, where? Sat on
Sanibel Island, Florida.
Sanibel Island. That's his private island.
Went to the White House, sat on President Bush's lap,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Where
well,
else?
I mean, Uncle Bush, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to press some buttons. So.
When I was a kid, my parents took us, we used to drive down to Cleveland, Oklahoma, my great-grandparents' farm.
We used to go to Oklahoma.
That was something. And then one time we went to St. Louis, so we went to St. Louis and we went to Six Flags. I was about 9 or 10.
That's pretty cool.
Went to the Top of the Arch. It was a big one. And then one time when I was in like going to 8th grade, it was the first time I'd ever been on a plane. We flew to Cancun. So we went to Mexico.
Wow, you went out
yeah,
of the country.
Went out
I've
of the country.
Never been out of the country. You rich kid.
So
you rich kid from Independence.
That was the big
thing.
You're
on an island, Sterling. You don't need to go out the country.
So we went to Cancun, and then I got Montezuma's Revenge. So I was pooping everywhere. It was bad news. Got the got the runs, and then I got chafed my fat little legs. It was a horrible trip. I got sunburned. Terrible. And I cut my leg on some coral.
How old were you?
And
How do you remember all this?
I was 12.
I guess when
or
you...
13. And then I thought the sharks, because I had seen like the movies, if they smell the blood, they're going to come
oh,
get you. I'm
yeah.
like, we're in this freaking ocean or whatever, and I scratched my leg on some coral. I was bleeding. I was like, well, they're coming to get me. I'm out.
Have your way,
between
Lord.
That and diarrhea, I mean, what a trip.
Well, yeah, when you poop your pants. Wow.
I never pooped my pants. It was just rough.
Did you George Brett yourself?
No. That was my big trip that one time.
Why is Darren looking very...
These kids today are spoiled. They get to go everywhere.
They've
been all over the place.
I agree, Lebo. Back in the day, we got to go to Mugs Up in Independence and like it.
Yeah, now he's talking like he's from Independence.
Independence Audio.
First of all, do you know nothing about
still
that
open.
Life, Sterling? Quit trying to make it seem like you were poor or broke growing up, bro. You're not. You're not me or Lebo. We know what it's like.
Wow, now you're calling Lebo poor.
Hey, we know what it's like to have a rough upbringing.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. I mean,
we're from, well, Darren and I are both from the hood, and you're from fancy Overland Park.
Lee Hood.
Lebo, football returned last night. Now, I can't lie. I was supposed to do a show last night, but the game ended at 11 o'clock. It was going to be a half-hour post-game show. I told Beards, I'm not doing a half-hour show. I'm taking my ass to bed. So,
Thursday night's late.
Well,
that's late. Those games go late.
Well, they did
I told you
night.
Week one, they pull out all of the commercials, all of the extras.
Well, it wasn't really. I mean, look, the game should have been a blowout, basically in either direction. You know, obviously, both teams left a lot of points on the board. Dallas needs to look for a new kicker. Because, I mean, that was just embarrassing.
Stones on the 48 one, though. He had stones to go up.
Yeah, but I mean, but he missed an extra point. He missed a field goal earlier. I mean, you put your team at a disadvantage. So, but I thought it was an excellent game. You know, considering what I thought, because I got in early on the line when it was 7.5, and it got up to 9 last night. But the fact that Dallas was competitive, I tweeted that I thought the Dallas Cowboys played the greatest trick on folk in the offseason, because they looked horrible during, you know, going 0-for-4 with the preseason games and the Hard Knocks. He didn't, you know, didn't really look all that good. We didn't know how Dak was going to look. And then they come, you know, it's like the greatest trick, like the devil.
And they
greatest
still trick. Lost, though.
No, they still are. But I'm saying our expectations of them going to the game, initially I had them getting blown out. And then, you know, I forgot what you had the scores, Sterling. But the fact that they should have won the game and they didn't, but Dak Prescott, now he throwing 52 passes, and you know, I think
that's what the Cowboys do, though. This is the Cowboys, is they put up a lot of
points. Yeah, but Tampa Bay's run defense
decent,
is pretty good,
and
though.
Then they blow it. This is the Cowboys special.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay's defense. I mean, they're front line. You had Peter Vita out there. I mean,
Vita Vey.
I mean, the man was pushing the center back. I was looking like, God, I hope that's not Creed Humphrey's in the Super Bowl. He's pushing the center back and still getting to Dak Prescott. Oh, yeah.
Well, we got to give Dak a lot of credit. Oh, Dak came to play. Dak was balling, and he looked healthy to me, right? And you know what? If they hadn't have dropped a couple of passes, and, you know, obviously the field goals are big, but, you know, they did what they needed to do. They got after Tampa. They caused some turnovers. They fought with them the whole game. But I think, you know, honestly, you know, it's hard to manage the clock when you're trying to go down to the end, but they just left too much time for Tom Brady.
But that's,
you know,
what Patrick did. When,
they threw the ball on the first play when they got down to the 41 or something. They threw it, and it was incomplete, so that saved a timeout for them. And then they ran, then they got the penalty. You know, so that whole little bit was just kind of a mess. They needed to get that thing down to where Tom had one timeout or no timeouts in like 20-some seconds, not a minute, and you just knew it was happening. You knew it was toast. There was no way they were going to win that game.
That game reminded me of when the Chiefs went up to New England and Patrick left too much time, you know, throwing that 75-yard mm-hmm. touchdown bomb to Tyreek, and you left 2 minutes for, like, come on, man. And the next thing you know, just methodically. Yeah,
it's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to go on the road and say, all right, we want to, you know, move the ball 70, 80 yards and leave no time on the clock. You get what you can get.
And score.
True. Yeah, and get the
points. But you also cannot leave points on. You can't miss an extra point. You can't miss
the extra
field
point's
goal.
A bad one. 60-yard field goal, no big deal. But the extra point and the shorter field goal, huge.
Well, and especially when you get basically three before, you know, four turnovers against them, you got to be able to capitalize on it. Now, again, the one in the end zone, it is because that's the end of the half. You know, but
I don't understand why the dude ran down that sideline. All the players are on that sideline. Why didn't he cut back the other way? Because I thought that, I mean, it's a wide open field. All there was fat guys down there. Who was going to tackle him? All the fast dudes were in the end zone, laying on the ground. I mean, you can't expect a guy to run a ball back 105 yards. But he started running back, and I'm like, why are you running down the freaking short sideline?
Yeah. I think the thing that killed me last night as it relates to my initial parlay was Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin fumbling the ball at the two. Like, he got, like, and I know Brady's on the sideline, man, just thinking to himself, you better not have cost me the game. You know, but that turnover, Leonard Fournette with the
I think it was Roe Jones.
Well, both of them. No, I'm saying, well, Roe Jones had the fumble. Yeah. Leonard Fournette had the missed catch where he got intercepted, you know. Prescott, yeah, our guy Mark Gunnels out in L.A. was talking about CeeDee Lamb's going to be a top 10 receiver. I'm like, the dude had four drops.
Yeah, no.
Like, we're like, where the hell is he? I mean, who's he going to get past? Like, I know you work at FS1, but dude, that, no.
Amari Cooper was fantastic. Amari Cooper
old
was.
Old man. Still bringing it. Well, CD still had a nice night, but you can't have the drops. Nice,
yeah.
How crazy would that night have been without the drops? I mean, hell, he had 100 yards and a touchdown. He'd have had 180,
yeah,
200.
Is Gronk back? Because
it looks like it.
I don't know. It was weird. He looked like an old man who couldn't walk 2 years ago, and now he's.
I will say this. I
think he and Tom Brady are both sipping from the same possibly illegal fountain of youth.
Meet us out the way. Sterling did good with his. Sterling did well with his parlay. You know, so I'm going to give you his credit. But I also got to give credit to Kane Get Right. Antonio Brown looked good last night. Mm-hmm. He had the one drop, but, I mean, he was outstanding. I'm concerned about Mike Evans. Mike Evans, you know, I think he's going to get lost. You know, when we got, you know, all these players that are returning, Brady, because he's got so much of a relationship with Gronk, and we look at Antonio Brown. They're going to be the recipients, and then of course that's going to leave them kind of like on the island. Now, Brady will pass the ball around, but
yeah, they got a lot of weapons. It doesn't need to be. I mean, we like the Chiefs' top weapons. Okay, we like Kelsey, we like Hill, we don't know about the rest. In the end, you'd probably rather have it like they have it, where there's like
five
eight
dudes.
Guys, and you don't really care which one gets it all.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick timeout because I know Sterling's giving me the signal. You're listening to Darren and Sterling. We are joined by Todd Liebel today here on ESPN Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
I know you know this tune, but
you know this one.
I have no idea this is, but we are back on Darren and
Judas
Sterling.
Priest.
Who?
That's Rob the
Halford.
Why?
Living After Midnight. After Midnight.
We're back on Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM, 15:10 a.m. For some reason, Lebo as well as Sterling seems to think that Mike Carter played this type of music on 103.
You didn't have to just listen to what Mike Carter played on 103.
I did.
Everything was out there. You could listen to anything you want.
They didn't have Painkiller in here. Painkiller been a good one.
Oh, man.
I've expanded myself listening to things musically.
I've expanded myself.
You get to hear 20 seconds of it when I'm on here. You hear one heavy metal song.
There you go. That's we call that growth.
It's growth.
It's growth.
That's right.
Now, look, we are finally here. The Sunday before the Chiefs home opener, people could call it Red Friday. I see you've...
I got red on.
Got red on.
Free red shirt.
Oh, okay. Did you get your box yesterday before you left?
I didn't get any box. They didn't give me a box.
You didn't ask for it.
I don't need a box. You put the socks on?
Nope.
Why not? You gave those away. It's a present, isn't it? He's regifting.
I gave him. I sure did. First of all, people are like, well, I'm not a homer. But second of all, it's like what we look like in the stadium. You know, in the press box with Chiefs socks on.
You just wear those around the house.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm cool. Now, The mask I would utilize. First of all, I don't hate the Chiefs.
Is that mask up to CDC standards?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not wearing that mask.
Yeah. But, you know, what Sterling fails to realize is that when it comes to that type of stuff, man, we have to be credible. We have to, you know, you don't want to get too close or be too
what
friendly.
What am I
because
rocking right now? I'm rocking a white button-down polo.
I put my red shirt on. We had a few of these guys got these shirts. So Shane, didn't see Shane today if he had his on.
Oh, he's here.
Yeah, I don't know if he had the.
He gave us
this
a lot
one,
of commercials back here.
Was this the red one? We had, there were like four of us had this exact same shirt a few years ago. I think Nate had it too. We wear this home game shirt. We wear the red one.
What's it say?
No Place Like Home, and it's an Arrowhead. It's okay. One of those Charlie Hustle shirts.
Well, speaking of Arrowhead, of course, Chiefs kickoff. They host the Cleveland Browns Sunday, 3:25 p.m. Of course, game is going to be on CBS. Listen to Josh Briscoe Sunday evening.
It's going to be night, yeah.
Sunday night at 7 o'clock after the game. And
I'll tell you this. Here's what you got. Bright and early.
Oh.
Bright and early. It starts at 7 o'clock. They have a new gambling show that's on from 7 to 8. 8 to 9
hours.
Is Chiefs tailgate. In there, we've got some conversation with Darren Smith and Mary Kay Cabot that's going to be playing in there. 9 o'clock, Seren and Curtis and Mark Boerichter with 3 hours of Chiefs pregame for you. And then we're going to turn it over because everyone's going to be fantasy football crazy, right? So we've got other NFL games on and then all the ESPN fantasy stuff happening. So everyone will be on that. And then 3:25 game, everyone will be jacked up. Briscoe, you and I will be out there asking questions after the game. And then that'll go late probably. I mean, it's going to
be. We're not getting out there until I'm saying I think 8. I think with the presser, probably around 8 o'clock. Before we get out, it's probably going to be around 8:30 because the game's not going to be over until probably 7 o'clock.
Yeah, probably 6:30, 6:45 maybe.
Yeah, 6:45. Yeah. And then
what's the over-under, 6:45?
Oh, let's do it over-under. Put it on the deal. 6:45, final whistle because they don't shoot a gun anymore.
I'm going to say under.
I think under too because that's 3:20. That's a 3:19 game. I will say under.
3:25.
Yeah, I think the under. I think it's going to be right.
We're all on the under.
Yeah, I think 6:30 is pretty realistic.
6:30. Oh, you're going way. Well, let's change it.
That's 3 hours and 5 minutes.
Let's change it to 6:35. You're going over.
I'm going over.
Okay.
Going over.
All right. Two unders and an over on 6:45. You got overtime coming, don't you?
Nope. No. Because I'm telling you, 3:25. You all are going 6:35. or you know, 6:35 or below, right?
6:45.
6:45. Well, let's call it 6:38. That's the over under.
Over.
That you're over. I'm over. Still under.
I'm still under. Yeah.
Okay.
Over. Okay.
All right.
All right. So when I win the over, I need a bottle of water from both of y'all because the station can't seem to keep none here. So.
Dude,
there's water
in the
faucet. What do you want?
I want a bottle of water.
Well, bring your own bottle.
Oh, and I'm the 1%. Wow. Darren needs his Fiji.
Oh, no, first of all, I'm not asking. I'm not asking for a bottle of wine. I said a bottle of water.
Well,
now,
go ahead and kill the planet while you're at it. Go ahead and just start spraying ozone.
I don't know about you all, but I recycle my bottles.
Well, just get one of the bottles out of the recycling, fill it up out of the tap.
So, Levo, looking ahead to Sunday, of course, Chiefs, this is a matchup where these two teams face off in the AFC divisional game where the Chiefs won 22-17.
Seems like 6 years ago.
Feels like it, too, because I was there, but I wasn't impressed. I was just in the stands. But looking at this game.
In the stands or a suite?
Stands.
Did you go to the suites, any suites last year?
I did, yeah. I did
Mr. 1% are in the suites. We are turning the tables.
Jackson County, the legislatures, you know, the sports commission.
Yeah,
I know people.
I know you do.
You know, I used to be in politics. I know how to pick up a phone. Like, hey,
you're always in politics still.
Always.
It never ends. This is an exciting game, though. It's a great matchup. I don't think we can make harsh judgments about what happens this game for either team. But the Browns are the ones that have to prove something. They're the ones that everyone thinks is hot stuff. Everyone thinks that this is a team that's going to make the playoffs for sure. There's whispers of deep runs. There's whispers of Super Bowls. I mean, you can find someone out there in the national media who thinks the Browns are a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, I saw somebody from NFL Network.
So,
I think Kay Adams or somebody.
I mean, you got to really show it to me here. Now, this is for them, this is a great big chance to do it. You want to be Mr. Big Stuff? You come to Arrowhead Stadium on opening day and you beat this team, then you're stamping your seal on that you're Big Stuff if you can do that. I don't know if they're ready for it. They proved a lot last year by finally making the playoffs, and then they won a playoff game, and they battled the Chiefs to the end. Now, the Chiefs had issues. Patrick got hurt, right? They were already weak on offensive line at that point. They weren't as devastated as they would be a few weeks later. But the Browns, give them their due. They fought, and they grounded out in a very tough place to play, and they took the Chiefs till the very, very end of the game. But it's a new year. I don't know if they're ready to come make that leap yet. It's still the Browns, but they do have the same coach for 2 years in a row, which is a miracle.
They have not had that. That does matter. But like I told Sterling, we were on with Jake Trotter yesterday of ESPN. I just don't trust Baker. I mean, I like that he's improved, but it's still something about him. I'm just not sure if he's turned that page just yet.
Yeah, this is why this is a big game to go see if you've done that. I don't think there's any question you can say that they turned the page last year.
If the
Browns make the playoffs and the Browns win a playoff game, you've turned the page because they had not done that. They hadn't made the playoffs and they hadn't won a playoff game since it was 19 whatever it was.
94.
Yeah, I mean,
but let's see if they can do 2 years in a row.
Bob Seger, turn the page.
Yeah. So don't roll your eyes at Bob Seger.
Hold on, Full House. That much I know.
Bob Saget.
Oh,
different.
I tried.
Okay, that's a good effort.
I tried. That.
I feel like the Cleveland Browns are the very good, but not one of the elite teams. I feel like they are a good 10-7 team.
Well, that's the big question. How many elite teams are there?
Exactly. How many are there?
Chiefs. I think Bills, I think Buccaneers, and I think the Rams might be considered in that elite.
What makes Buffalo elite?
He loves Josh Allen.
And the defense is fantastic.
The Bills made the AFC title game last year.
Okay.
If I had to pick my top four teams, those are my top four teams.
Where's Green Bay at in that?
Probably five.
Where do we call the Ravens?
But they made an NFC championship game.
Very good.
They're not elite.
No, I would put Green Bay in the top five. We're in the top five elite. Green Bay's in there. Ravens on the out.
And you like the Rams,
especially with the rash of injuries that
I got to see the Rams quarterback.
Name your top five elite teams again.
Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Buccaneers, and Rams.
You got the Rams in there. That's bold.
They're at five or four. They can probably flip flop with the. I have them in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. The Rams.
But I think the Rams are interesting. But I think that division's really, really hard. It's going to be tough to come out of there. And I think the Browns division is really, really hard. Now, maybe it's easier now that all these injuries have happened with Baltimore.
Oh, see, Jesus.
But Pittsburgh's defense is still elite. All right, so Pittsburgh's the real deal. I think there's a huge game for Buffalo as well. They're at home. They've got the Steelers coming in on Sunday. That's a big chance. The Steelers were the worst 12-0 team we ever saw last year. Remember, we knew they were all smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
But they kind of, you know, maybe Ben's healthy. They maybe got their stuff in order. They got their defense right. Bud Dupree's back. Is it correct? He's healthy. So maybe they can go out there and take the Bills out of the elite category if they go up there and win that game.
The Bills are also
one
game. The Bills, I think the Bills are traveling to Tampa Bay this year, or is it the other way around? Because I know they're going to face Tom Brady.
Well, they got a tough schedule.
Yeah,
they got a first place schedule is what they have now.
Yeah, we'll
so when you have a first place schedule, it's just two games. Well, it's three games now because of having 17, but those games make the difference. It's the difference between playing Tampa and playing the Saints or something like that when you get into those, when you're playing the other division. So those AFC games that are actually done by that. So they'll end up, that's why they're playing the Chiefs again, right?
I don't want to belabor this because I don't want to look too far ahead, but talk about the rash of injuries. I know the next game up for Kansas City is the Baltimore Ravens the following Sunday on Sunday Night Football, where yours truly will be in attendance. Where do the Ravens turn to? Because I know they signed Latavius Murray today,
but he's got like 4 days of experience with the team.
But the fact that Marcus Peters and the other running back
Gus Edwards, AC, is hurt.
I mean they've been
hit
with
rough
injury
bug. People get all mad about J.K. Dobbins getting hurt in a game, and we always say, well, you can get hurt in practice. Well, you know what? They just lost two top line people in
matter of minutes.
Yeah, so it can happen anywhere. I mean, it's the nature of the game. It's the nature of the human body and what these guys go through to get themselves ready to play, and these things can happen. So it's devastating for them, but this division is tough, right? We just talked about Pittsburgh. People think Cleveland can be a Super Bowl team. The Ravens have an MVP quarterback, and they finally won a playoff game last year. They won one playoff game. And the Bengals have a lot of really good young talent on it. That's going to be a division to watch for sure.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick timeout, come back. We're going to go quickly through Sunday schedule.
14 parlay. We can do 16, 15 parlay.
Well, we'll talk about the parlay after the show. But we're going to come back. We're going to pick winners and losers. You're listening to Darren and Sterling here on ESPN Kansas City.
Now, I don't know this one. This sounds like some 1999, 2002.
This sounds like some bubblegum.
Like a Sum 41, one of those.
Sugar Cult.
There you go.
This was their biggest song. I wanted to at least test you. I gave you some easy ones.
Yeah, I'm too old for this.
All right, now, Sterling and I, look, you told us during the break we ain't got much time, so we're going to go through this list of games Sunday and Monday. Yeah, Sunday. You'll be back on Sunday or Monday. Eagles, Falcons.
Eagles.
Falcons.
It's a road game for the Eagles. I think they're going to go down and play well.
I'm going to go with the Falcons at home. Steelers and Bills, 12 o'clock, CBS.
Just because the Bills are elite, I'm going to take the Steelers.
I'm going with the Steelers, too.
Bills, Lebo's 0-2
Bills by
1,000.
Right, I'm going with Buffalo. Do they cover, though? That's the question.
Six and a half?
No.
Oh.
All right, Vikings, Bengals.
Do you have to watch this one?
Thankfully,
this is at Cincinnati. The Vikings are a better team. This is a chance for Cincinnati to come out and say, we've improved. Vikings.
49ers, Lions, Niners. I might even take the 8 points.
What if Dan Campbell eats somebody's knees?
If Dan Campbell eats Garoppolo's knees,
and
the Niners
coffee?
Become a better team because Trey Lance comes in. But I'm still going with the Niners.
Now, that's going to be a good matchup, Cardinals and the Titans.
Yeah, that is a good one. I think I'll take the Titans, though. Run game.
I'm going to go with the Titans as well.
Cardinals on the road.
I got
big Kyler Murray guy.
I got too many road games already.
That's good. Seahawks, Colts. Now, everybody's talking about
Carson Wentz is playing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's starting today.
Everybody's talking about that offensive line of the Colts, and, you know, but Russell Wilson, you know, he's always in the MVP discussion.
Early
part of the season, first five, six games.
Four touchdowns
by
for
week
Russell,
nine, he's off.
Exactly.
I'm going to say the Colts are going to win this game.
I'm going to go Seahawks on this one.
I'm going Colts, too.
Chargers and football team.
This one's on the road for the Chargers. They're like a one-point favorite or something.
Washington
has a very good defense. I don't know if they're good enough at quarterback yet. I say the Chargers win this game.
I'm gonna go with Washington because the Chargers didn't play the starters at all, and I think that matters. Sterling, who you got?
I'm going with Chargers.
I figured you would. Jets and the Panthers.
Panthers.
Sam Darnold's ex versus Sam Darnold. I guess
really
give me
is,
current yeah. Sam Darnold on the Panthers.
Okay, I'm going with Panthers as well. Jaguars, Texans.
No. Turd of the week.
Game before is
Jacksonville's a three-point favorite.
Ugh.
Urban Meyer.
They'll probably win this game.
Really?
Yeah. What's Houston even got?
I don't know. But
give me Houston because I want Urban Meyer to get fired.
I want Houston to win. I don't want.
Okay, so we all going with Texans. Dolphins, Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots.
Yeah, it's Patriots. You know what? I think the Dolphins are going to go up there and give them the business. How about that? Dolphins win this game.
Nice.
I like
a lot of road teams.
I got too many road teams.
Broncos, Giants.
I think the Giants win this game.
Going with Broncos. That defense is going to be too elite for them.
They are good.
And they're not going to have Saquon Barkley, I don't think. So
Giants because Drew Luck should be starting.
Don't mention his name no more on the show. Bears, Rams.
Rams. They're elite.
Rams.
They're elite.
Rams just because Justin Fields should be starting. Obviously, the last game we've got, Chiefs, Browns. Sterling, who you got?
Missed out. Packers, Saints.
Oh, I'm sorry. Packers, Saints. Yes, thank you.
Packers. Saints are a mess.
Yeah. Packers.
I'm going to go with Packers, but I think Jameis Winston is going to have a big statistical game. I think he's going to throw it all over the field.
Yeah.
To both teams.
How many to each team?
Two.
30-30.
No, I think it's gonna be a high scoring game. I don't think defense is gonna be even in the game, but I think the Packers are just gonna have a little bit more offense. Browns and the Chiefs, Sterling.
Chiefs.
Oh, also now you want to go with the Chiefs? Now you want to?
Why would I not go with the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl?
They're elite.
What's the Chiefs record this year, Lebo?
14-3.
Sterling? Oh, I had 14-3. You copy me?
We're elite. You and me.
We are.
Now somebody on.
You got 17-0.
Yeah. It's hard for me to credibly see them losing the game, but at worst, I got them going 15-2.
15-2.
Because what will happen is they'll have a game like they did last year with the Raiders where they had touchdowns called back and somebody scores, and then they'll have home field advantage and will sit everybody week 18.
So it's a repeat of last year.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with 20-0 anyway. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, this is Darren Estill, and we will be back with Ty Lebo on Monday recapping the game. Remember, you can catch us all over social media as well as 810 with our Chiefs report. Until then, be safe, get vaccinated. We out.